Greetings and salutations, and welcome to Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO. My name is Scott Nason, filling in for Dave Watson on this rainy Saturday morning in Sault Ste. Marie. Our broadcast engineer back in the 1230 WSOO studios is Matt Pocket, and we are dry inside and very happy to be back at Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan for Coach's Corner this season. Come on down to Applebee's. They are open right now, and get out of the rain and get your day started early for lunch. And they will get you ready for a big day of college football that you can watch here in the sports bar or wherever you are. Coming up on Coach's Corner this morning, we will talk to Rick Corbier and Dan Lasley from the Sioux Indians Midget AAA hockey team, as well as Matt Johnson, one of the assistant coaches for the Sioux High Blue Devil football teams. But as we always start with here on Coach's Corner, let's get to the scores that matter. In high school football from last night, in eight-player football at the Purple Palace in Pickford, the Panthers slugged out a 40-36 win over a very game Munising squad in Great Lakes 8 East Division football play. The Panthers now 2-0 on the season. They will be at Brimley on Friday night. Speaking of Brimley, the Bays were shut out on the road for the second straight week last night in Roger City, as they fell to the Hurons 42-0. On Thursday night in eight-player football in our EUP Game of the Week over on Country 105, the Rudyard Bulldogs, they thumped Cedarville Detour by the score of 63-6 to improve to 2-0 on the season. The Bulldogs will be at home this upcoming Friday night against North Dickinson, and you can hear that game over on Country 105 with Matt Pocket. Cedarville Detour now 0-2 on the year. They will host Newberry on Friday night. Speaking of Newberry, they improved to 2-0 on the year as they went on the road Thursday night and knocked off Gogebic by the score of 49-14. Engadine, they are 0-2 on the season, losing another close game Thursday night at home to Superior Central by the score of 34-30. The Eagles will be at Munising on Friday night. In 11-player football from last night, St. Ignace, they fell at home to Frankfurt 39-28 to drop to 0-2 on the season. The Saints will be at Charlevoix on Friday night, while the Sioux High Blue Devils, they improved to 2-0 on the year Thursday, as they thumped Tawas by the score of 42-0. We'll talk more about that game and the season coming up around 11:30 with one of their assistant coaches, Matt Johnson. Blue Devils will be at home against Kingsley on Friday night. You can hear that game right here on 1230 WSOO with Dave Watson and Pat Bennett. Other high school football scores from Friday night: Gladstone, they fall at Kingsford 21-6. Lake Linden Hubbell all over Rapid River 60-6. Petoskey, they were at home and they beat Escanaba by the score of 44-27. Menominee over Marinette 25-16. Ontonagon at home, they defeat Ironwood in eight-player football by the score of 50-22. In Northern Michigan Football League action from last night, in the Leaders Division, Boyne City over Charlevoix 27-8. In the Legends Division, the one that Sioux High plays in, a good game at Traverse City St. Francis, and they defeat Grayling by the score of 32-15. Beale City over McBain 33-14. And those were some of the other high school football scores from last night. Lake Superior State University volleyball opened up their season yesterday at the Keweenaw Volleyball Classic hosted by Michigan Tech. The Lakers would fall in their first match Friday morning to Concordia St. Paul by a 3-0 count. They would also lose 3-0 to Minnesota Duluth. Both those teams ranked in the top 10, and they're already in action this morning. As a matter of fact, that match did just end as the Lakers fall to St. Cloud State, also by a 3-0 count, and they will face the Minnesota State Mavericks coming up this afternoon at 2:30. And finally, the Sioux Greyhounds have announced their 26-player roster, as they have made the necessary cuts, and they will skate in a preseason action here coming up tomorrow afternoon at 2:07 p.m. at the GFL Memorial Gardens, as the Hounds will host the Sudbury Wolves. Tickets are available for both season ticket holders and the general public by visiting the box office today until 2 p.m. or starting Sunday morning at 10. And those are the scores that matter on this Saturday morning. We're going to take a break. We come back, we're going to talk Sioux Indians hockey with a couple of their longtime serving coaches, volunteers, general managers. I don't know what to call them. They do everything. Coming up here on Coach's Corner, live from Applebee's on 1230 WSOO. And we're back at the I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan, hosted by Applebee's. Come on down and join us for lunch. They are open all day long, and they will serve anything that you want to get here at Applebee's. Scott Nason with you, filling in for Dave Watson on this Saturday morning, and we are joined by the assistant general manager of the Sioux Indians Midget AAA Hockey Club, Rick Corbier, and one of their scouts and volunteers, Dan Lasley. Gentlemen, appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to join us here this morning on Coach's Corner.
Thanks for having us, Scotty. It's right back at it again. You know, it seemed like we just had a short summer, but, you know, we do this all summer, so, you know, it's something that it just continues on with us.
Well, first of all, I'll ask you both this question. You know, going back to last season, the Sioux Indians were very fortunate to be one of the teams that were able to play basically their entire season. Now, this season we'll talk about in a moment, but just going back to last season, Big Daddy, as far as just trying to make that all work, certainly it was a challenge, and it certainly took a lot of very dedicated staff and volunteers that you have, seems like, year in, year out.
You know, kudos to Zeke. I mean, you know, he does a tremendous job doing the scheduling and the busing and everything else that's got to go on with this organization, and it's just something that, you know, we started out pretty good, then the pandemic come down, and, you know, we were able to follow the guidelines, supposedly, and follow the science, and you know, we stayed pretty true to that, and, you know, with Mike's scheduling, you know, obviously we couldn't play much in Michigan, but, you know, made it over to Cleveland, and, you know, I think our schedule by the time we were done was about probably 40, 45 games, so, you know, kudos to him. I mean, he does a heck of a job every year doing our schedule, and, like, last year we didn't have the strength of our schedule that we have this year, obviously, you know, going to be playing a lot of the Michigan teams back in that Michigan League again, so, you know, it was something that we fought through it, and, you know, with the help of the whole staff, I got to thank the whole staff and even the Housen parents. And even this year, we got to thank the Housen parents, too, because without them, you know, we wouldn't have things going our way. And, you know, with Dan and Jerry and Marty and even Mark Meehan chips in once in a while. And, you know, obviously our coach, you know, Coach Ferroni. You know, we stayed together and stayed pretty true, and we fought through it, and we got through it, so that was a good thing.
And Dan Lasley also joining us, you know, trying to get players to come up to play for the Sioux Indians. What are some of the, you know, strengths of the organization and just some of the reasons that you're able to get some of these really good players that we've seen, you know, go on to the North American Hockey League and Division I college hockey? What are some of the best selling points for you as a scout to come up here and play, you know, midget hockey in Sault Ste. Marie?
Well, I think the number one thing is getting out of the big city, getting up here into the great UP, also playing at the D1 school right at Lake Superior State. Their coaches, we practice right after the D1 team. They're watching our practices and our players all the time. And the Eagles are in town, you know, another junior team that these kids have an opportunity to maybe play some games with now and then. And financially, we're probably one of the least expensive teams in the country to play for. People don't believe that until they come here and actually experience it, and then they figure out that it's a good place to play.
Rick Corbier and Dan Lasley joining us from the Sioux Indians Midget AAA squad. And Rick, looking at this year's team, we'll get to some of the individuals here with Dan in a moment, but you had your opening training camp, and you guys are going to be heading to the Maha Showcase coming up this upcoming weekend. And looking at your schedule, kudos to the schedule maker. I believe 22 games at home and around 11 or 12 on the road. Certainly, that's, as an organization, that's got to be, you know, something that's a great situation to be in.
Yeah, again, you know, back to Zeke. I mean, it was just something that, you know, when we go on the road, it's going to be the showcases or tournaments and so forth, but it's just something that, you know, we were pretty fortunate this year to get that many home games, and, you know, it's something, the travel as far as Detroit teams are concerned, I mean, they just got to get on 75 and come up, and,
right,
you know, 4.5-5 hours for them, but, you know, he found a way to get that schedule going like he always does, and, you know, hats off to him to, you know, to have that many home games for us this year.
Yeah, the Indians will start at home on September 18th, a pair of games against Green Bay. Then they'll play the 19th as well against Green Bay. And then on September 25th and 26th against Cleveland, October 2nd and 3rd against CompuWare. And, of course, the benefit for fans that want to go see these games, and you will have attendance, fans will be able to come in, is it's free. You can't charge, and you don't charge. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, it's just something that's open to the public, and, you know, hopefully this year, you know, we're going to have more, you know, fans coming in. You know, it depends what's going on with the other teams and so forth, and, you know, with little things starting to ramp up a little bit. I mean, we're still going strong, and we're going to keep going strong.
Dan, looking at this Sioux Indians roster, why don't you give our listeners a snapshot of some of the players, returners, where they're from, and their first look at the 2021-22 Sioux Indians.
Well, we have 7 returning veterans, which is always good, and 4 local kids this year. Starting off at the top, Colin Goff, he's a returner from Wasala, Alaska. We have Ethan Lindell, who's pretty much local from Sheboygan. Kyle Stevens, a local product here from Sioux, Michigan. Robbie Landis, he's from the Sioux. And Aiden Hoppala, playing defense, he's from the Sioux. And we have Bryce Grambois, who's from Detroit, and actually he's not with us at this point because he's still on an NAHL roster.
Okay.
30 man. We're waiting to see what happens there. Either, hopefully, good things for him. Sevi Litz, it comes from us from Detroit, actually played for Little Caesars last year and scored, unfortunately, scored the shootout goal win, the only time they beat us
right
here.
I remember that, yeah.
So, we went after him and got him. We have 3 Green Bay kids. They're from the Green Bay area. They're on the Green Bay Bobcats last year. It was pretty much their top 3 players. Cole Altergott, Grady Coppo, and Alex, I'm going to butcher this one, Freeland. It's like friend or Freeland, but they're all good kids from the Green Bay area. I forgot Curtis Hubbard. He's from the Sioux here. TJ Gollinger, he comes from Chicago. He was we just signed him, a week ago?
Yes.
Yeah, he was in a military academy down in Chicago. But you have ties here to the Sioux. So, and then one young man from across the river, Lincoln Moore, who is one of the top 05s in the Sioux, Ontario area. But he's still having a few issues with the bridge getting over here, but he'll get here eventually. We look forward to having him in. And then on defense, Cole Peterson from Cleveland. I think I mentioned him. He's a returner. And Brandon Vernarski, he's from Detroit also. And then our goalie is Peter Baldwin, who just got here this last week from Cleveland, Ohio.
Rick Corbier and Dan Lasley joining us on Coach's Corner, live from Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur. And Rick, you know, getting Coach Ferroni on board last season because of the border closure, you couldn't have Pat Caricardo, who was, slated to coach. Just having Coach Ferroni with the squad coming back this year, we're going to get him on the game on ESPN 1400 coming up on September 13th. But just having his experience, how has that been from a general manager and, in your case, assistant general manager perspective? How has that transition been?
Well, you know, it's something with him being off and getting that dry spell for a while, you know, from Sioux High and so forth. You know, got him in last year, did a great job, tremendous job. You know, one positive thing this year is he's starting out with the team right now. So, you know, we had a good hard week practice, and, you know, he does a great job. He's pretty meticulous with his X and O's. And, you know, as far as Dan is concerned and most of the staff, you know, the type of player that we want to get in here is going to fit his mold, you know. And, you know, he's the type of coach that, you know, you can bring anybody in and he'll coach him. I mean, he's got a lot of respect from our staff and respect around the town. And he's did many things with many teams and has success with them. And we're real glad that we have him.
And, Rick, who are some of the other coaches and staff that you haven't mentioned that help out the Sioux Indians as well, just in general, people and organizations that help out the Sioux Indians? I mean, it's hard to run a hockey team. And who are some of the other people we haven't mentioned so far that have been helping out?
Well, you know, as far as housing is concerned, I mean, everybody takes on different jobs, you know. With Jerry, for instance, he does the housing, does the registration and so forth. Dan, he does their scouting and their recruiting. As far as assistant coaches are concerned, right now we got a couple of guys interested, but we just don't know. We just want to make the right fit for them right now. But, you know, Marty does the equipment. You know, Mark Meehan comes on board when we need him. Who did I miss?
Zeke.
Zeke, I mean, you know, I mentioned, yeah. He does a great job. I mean, you know, the organization wouldn't be an organization without him.
No, it would not.
Because he does everything. Yep. I mean, right down from.
Meticulous.
You know, yeah, and everybody chips in certain areas. So, you know, we try to keep it short but good. And, you know, we're pretty particular on who we want to bring in because we've got to bring in the right person that understands the direction that we want to go in as far as our mission statement is concerned, you know, as far as moving players and so forth. And, you know, we just, you know, I want to stay humble by saying, hey, you know, if we can get somebody in, you know, our organization, we like to just say, hey, you know, just follow, follow, and follow. So.
Dan, a question I have for you is with scouting, certainly it's a lot different than scouting maybe even, you know, 10 years ago with basically everything being on your laptop. You can do things that scouts could not do even about 10 or 15 years ago. Certainly helps to reach some of these players where maybe you might not see. Or how much hockey do you watch on an average day? Obviously, you have a full-time job as well, but certainly makes scouting easier having all the technology to be able to view these individuals.
Well, I have Live Barn, Hockey TV on my phone and on my computer, and every night we're watching games.
Yeah.
I mean, last year it was tough to watch kids, of course, because of the COVID stuff, especially the high school kids. And usually when we come into camp or before we even make our team, we have a list of 60 to 80 kids. This last year it was hard because we didn't, we just couldn't go see those kids. And then the high school has some kind of rule where they can't really show their games on Live Barn, so it was really tough to see the high school kids. And if you look at our roster, we don't have any high school kids on there this year.
Right.
That's part of it. Usually we have the higher-end high school kids that we at least get to talk to, make contact with, but last year it was almost impossible.
And, Rick, you know, we were talking before we went on the air that you've been involved with the Sioux Indians and this type of thing for almost 30 years. What's been the biggest change as far as when you started getting involved with hockey and where it is right now? In Midget AAA and in general, if you had to pick one thing that's very, very different from, 30 years ago, what would that be?
Scouting. I mean, it's just something that, you know, it's so washed down now with the junior teams, with this league and that league and that league. And, you know, the North American League even, expanded. You know, when Zeke and I and most of us were involved with the junior team, I mean, we had 6, 8, 10, and 12 teams. I mean, you know, and like the Toledo Cherokee, Motor City Chiefs, they were in the Great Lakes Hockey League. You can recruit out of there. You know, at the high school level, I mean, I think it was a little bit higher than what it is now. But it's just so many options for kids. And, you know, their aspirations is to play junior hockey,
yeah.
You know. And, you know, junior hockey's all over, you know. And it makes it tough, you know, to recruit or scout. But it was, nowadays it is. But, you know, with the technology that you got, you know, Dan's on his phone and in front of that computer daily. And we correspond, him and I, and Zeke correspond. And he does a lot of investigation, you know, on players, you know, trying to run them down and so forth. If I find one or Zeke find ones, you know, we call Dan and investigate them. Because a lot of times, I mean, they do film and stuff of themselves.
Right.
And, you know, we just want to get the right pieces of the puzzle. I mean, the puzzle's going to be there sooner or later, but we just want to get the right player in there. And it's something that it makes it kind of tough nowadays than it did years ago.
Yeah.
11:26 here on Coach's Corner, live from Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur. Coming up in around 10 minutes, we'll be talking Sioux High football with one of their assistant coaches, Matt Johnson. Dan, we'll go back to you as far as the next question and looking at this roster. Certainly the team had success last season, several returning players. What is your prognostication for this year's Sioux Indian squad? What are going to be some of your strengths, and what are some of the things that the team might have to work on a little bit as they move forward?
Well, on paper, we're better than last year, but you know how on paper goes.
Sure.
you have to go out and play the games. I think we're really strong up front. Our forward group is pretty strong, and we're still looking to fill a hole or two there. Our defensive core, we could probably plug in a guy or two, and actually we're still looking to find a backup goalie to back up Peter. So I would say up front we're a lot stronger. I don't know if it'll be a question because the guys we have back on D are pretty solid. We're just looking for a few other guys back there to fill the holes, and I think we're going to be pretty good.
And Rick, you know, from a general manager perspective, as far as goals for the upcoming season, obviously you want to do well on the ice and win, get to the Maha playoffs and have success. But what are some of the other goals as far as, you know, just your organization, you know, obviously promoting players to the next level? That almost goes without saying. What are some of your goals for this upcoming season?
We just want to compete. You know, it's something that is starting to turn around a little bit as far as recruiting is concerned, because we do have a few of them Detroit kids knocking on our door now. And, you know, you take a couple years ago, it wasn't there. But, you know, I think our goal is just to compete and be there at the end. Like last year with the short squad that we had and bringing Coach Ferroni in, I mean, to go to the state tournament and lose a couple games by a goal, two goals, I mean, that's success for us.
You play your home games this season, I believe every home game at Taffy Able Arena. You do have one at the Polar this year?
The CCHA has a new thing where their games are starting earlier, the Lakers, on Saturday. So we're going to be playing a few more games at the Polar.
Oh, okay.
The friendly confines of the Polar.
Yes, indeed.
The kids love playing there.
Oh, yeah.
And the fans, it seems like we get more people when we play at the Polar. The local people like going to the Polar, and they'll come out and watch us there. So, yeah, so we'll be at the Polar a few more times.
What has been, Rick and Dan, if you want to answer this question, the relationship with Lake Superior State University and the Sioux Eagles? Obviously, you have, you know, a major Division I hockey team in town. You have another junior hockey team. How has it been the relationship with those two teams?
Well, we've been pretty fortunate, you know, with Damon there right now, and even the former coaches that were there due to the fact that we practice there, we play there, we practice right after them, and you know, it's a pretty good relationship. I mean, they talk to us about our players. You know, they'll talk to Zeke about a player coming in or possibly a player that we could get. So it's been pretty good. You know, not only them two. You know, I got to add the Eagles in there too.
Yep.
I mean, you know, over the years that, you know, we've got a pretty good working relationship with them too.
And Dan, just because the season has started, that doesn't mean that your job is done. What sort of scouting do you do throughout the season? You know, because with junior hockey, you're always looking at the next step. But do
right.
you do a lot of it during the season as
oh,
well?
Oh, yeah, correct. Like next weekend when our showcase, it's the U18s and 16s. So I'll probably be at the rink all day watching 16s, U16s down in Taylor.
Final question for you. Again, we're joined by Rick Corby, assistant general manager of the Sioux Indians, and one of their scouts, Dan Lasley. And Rick, I guess the question I have for you is, you know, I've seen these names for many years doing these broadcasts and having you guys on, and it's pretty much the same names, maybe one or two change, but how do you get such a good, dedicated staff year in and year out for the Sioux Indians? What's the secret to your success?
We argue. No.
No question there.
No, you know, it's something if you're on the same sheet of music, and that's what we look forward to. And you're going to have your glitches and, you know, your roadblocks in there. You know, we may not disagree on certain things, but, you know, we come to a compromise, and we're all friends. And that's the main thing. I mean, that's what takes us a long ways, you know. As long as you're friends at the end of the day, that's a great thing.
And everyone can't agree because it makes it boring.
Yeah, I think it's the love of the game, too, and it kind of keeps you involved and so, you know, in the game, so to speak. And it makes winter go by fast.
Yes, it does.
Because every weekend we have games. It's practice all week, and before you know it, it's March, and that's great.
And no trips to Texas this year, I believe. Certainly that was quite an adventure last year.
Well, yeah. I made that one before, and I wasn't going to go on this one this time here, and I knew what was ahead of them. And, you know, they had a great time. And,
yeah, we did well.
You know, and they showed well. They competed down there, you know. So, you know, it was a great experience for the kids that we had here and the staff that went down. So, you know, Dan can speak on that just a little bit. But they had a great time.
Yeah, it was a great trip.
Except coming home.
Yes, a little tricky coming home, I hear. Anything else, gentlemen, that you'd like to bring up here before we go to our break and just upcoming season or just things we might have missed?
I just like to, again, like Rick said, the housing parents, they're huge. Without them, we can't have this team because we only have four locals this year. So that means, 16 kids are from out of town. They need a place to stay. So
right.
We're always looking for housing parents. If anybody out there thinks they're interested, please give us a call. It's very important for this team's success. I know in the next couple years, the groups that are coming up, there's going to be a few more, if not quite a few more, local kids on the team. And those parents maybe should start thinking, you know, maybe I'll look into this and house a kid, you know.
And so get involved.
Get involved so that this program's still here when my kid gets that age. And because, honestly, if we don't have houses, we can't have a team.
Big Daddy, anything else you want to bring up?
Yeah, you know, you can't forget the wives and the girlfriends here. I mean, you know, and, you know, if we got a question with USA Hockey or whatever, we go right to Bonnie because she's been involved with us. over all the years and so forth, you know. And with our wives and girlfriends, I think they're glad when we go on the road once in a while. But
it gives them a little peace and quiet.
Yeah, just to get out of the house.
Again, the Sioux Indians will start their season this upcoming weekend at the Maha Showcase. Their home openers will be on September 18th, 10 a.m. and 5 p.m., and September 19th at 10 a.m. against the Green Bay Bobcats. Rick Corbier, Dan Lasley, appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to come to Applebee's, and we'll certainly be talking Sioux Indians hockey not only here on Coach's Corner, but also on the game on ESPN 1400. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us,
Scott. Thanks for having us, Scotty.
All right, we're going to take a break. We come back. We're scheduled to be joined by one of the assistant coaches of the Sioux High Blue Devil football team, Matt Johnson. All coming up on Coach's Corner, live from Applebee's on 1230 WSOO. And we're back at Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, for Coach's Corner. Scott Nason filling in for Dave Watson on this Saturday morning. Want to thank Rick Corbier and Dan Lasley from the Sioux Indians Midget AAA hockey program for joining us as the season about to begin for the Sioux Indians, who will be on the road this upcoming weekend at the Maha Showcase. Well, our guest has not arrived as of yet, so let's talk about the Sioux High Blue Devil football game from Thursday night. And really, it was not much of a contest. The Blue Devils now 2-0 on the season as they knocked off the Tawas Braves at the A.J. Van Sitters Field on Thursday by the score of 42-0. So the Blue Devils yet to give up a point this season. And the offense looked to be clicking on all cylinders as the defense, as I mentioned, pitched its second straight shutout, according to their head coach, Scott Menard. And reports from local media outlets, he thought they did a really good job of controlling the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball and thinks he wore them down a little bit. Well, certainly they did, as the running clock situation was in the second half. The Blue Devils didn't waste any time on getting on the board Thursday, as they needed just five plays to go 54 yards, which was capped by Ryan LaPlante, 1 yard touchdown plunge in the first period. The drive was helped by a 24-yard pass play from LaPlante to quarterback Jake Davey, as well as a 30-yard run from halfback John Robinson. The Blue Devils would end up scoring on all six of their first half possessions, prompting a second half running clock. Plan pretty much worked for perfection as far as getting other players involved and maybe not having Jake Davey have to make plays on every play. As a matter of fact, LaPlante and Robinson each scored two touchdowns. Davey on the night, 3 of 3 passing for 87 yards. And a touchdown for the Sioux High Blue Devils. His passing touchdown came on a 45-yard pass to Jonah Denuccio McShane for the Sioux's second score of the night. And certainly the most exciting play of the night was a 62-yard run by Robinson. And according to head coach Scott Menard, he ran about 145 yards on that 62-yard run. He's not just a north and south runner. He likes to run of east and west. And certainly coaches want players to obviously run forward. But when you have the talent that Robinson does, and last week on Coach's Corner, Dave Watson and Scott Menard were here talking about how Sioux High really hasn't had that type of running back over the years. It's usually been pretty much a power running back, and they do have that as well, especially with LaPlante. But this Sioux High team, certainly coming off of last season, winning a couple playoff games, including one on the road, they're looking good. However, the competition will change a bit for the Sioux High Blue Devils. Again, not trying to say anything bad about St. Ignace and Tawas. They're both programs that are building up, but you look at the rest of the Blue Devils' schedule, and a big one on Friday, one of the biggest games, I think, in years that we've had here in Sault Ste. Marie. The Blue Devils will host Kingsley. Kingsley 2-0 on the season, certainly a long playoff run last year, and that one is going to be a dandy. So we'll have that game over on 1230, right here, I should say, on 1230 WSOO. With Dave Watson and Pat Bennon. We'll have the kickoff show around 6:35 on Friday. And certainly if you're in the area, I plan on attending that one. That one should be a dandy. Blue Devils will then travel to Sheboygan for their next game. The Sheboygan Chiefs 1-1 on the season. Then they'll host Ogama Heights on September 24th. Be at Grayling October 1st. That's going to be a good game, as Grayling, a strong team. They did lose to Traverse City St. Francis last night. And then Sioux High will host Traverse City St. Francis on October 8th. before finishing the season on the road at Benzie Central and at Gladstone. And, well, looking at some of the other news and notes around the EUP and high school football, certainly the Rudyard Bulldogs. I had a first look at them on Thursday where they traveled to Cedarville and really demolished the Cedarville Detour Islanders, as they're known now, as those teams have co-opted in football since, I believe, 2005, but all high school sports now at Cedarville and Detour are co-opted, and was the first look at the Islanders, and it's going to be a rebuilding year for that program, but Rudyard, they looked absolutely invincible on Thursday night, and what's the probably the scariest thing, I think, with the Rudyard Bulldogs is that they have so many plays that they can run. It's not just run. It's not just pass. They platoon different quarterbacks in it, and their defensive line has really looked good. And circle that game when they play Pickford, because that one is going to be a very, very good game. Pickford last night over Munising, a very close game, 40-36. And certainly they got to be very happy with the numbers they're getting in Pickford right now as far as players out for varsity football. I believe 30, if I'm not mistaken, on that roster. And so we're seeing some very good teams in the area. And again, look at that Rudyard-Pickford game. I believe that's towards the end of the season. That one is going to be a lot of fun. Looking at the Sioux Greyhounds, we talked about them earlier. They cut their roster from 40 to 26 players yesterday. Looking at this year's Sioux Greyhounds, which you can hear their games over on our sister station Rock 101 this upcoming season with Jerry Liscomb Jr. Two goalies on the roster this year, Samuel Ivanoff and Charlie Schenkel. Defense, seven, including a few returning players, Jacob Holmes, Andrew Gibson, Ryan O'Rourke, Connor Toms, Luke Brustowski, Caden Carlisle, and Robert Calisti, a couple former Sioux Thunderbirds on that part of their roster. 17 forwards for this year's Sioux Greyhounds squad, including Alex Johnson, Owen Allard, Justin Cloutier, Joe Carroll, Jordan D'Antino, easy for me to say, Tyler Savard, Rory Cairns, Ethan Montroy, Dominic Mufara, Calvin Watson, Ty Cart, Mark Boudreau, Bryce McConnell Barker, Cole McKay, Marco Mignonosa, Landon Hookie, and Tanner Dixon. So that is your 26-man roster for the Sioux Greyhounds. And again, the Greyhounds will start up preseason play tomorrow afternoon where they will host the Sudbury Wolves at the GFL Memorial Gardens at 207. If you want tickets for that game, they are available to both season ticket holders and the general public by visiting the box office today until 2 p.m. or Sunday, 10 a.m. until game time. Looking at some of the other sports that hope to start up over the past or over the next few weeks and months, still some questions as far as the Sioux Eagles with the border closure, the Canadians not allowed to come to the United States at least until September 21st, although most signs point to that border extension being or border closure being extended. Kind of leaves the Eagles in the precarious situation of how they're going to play their season. We haven't got any word officially yet. There have been some rumors speculated about as far as what they might do, but certainly them playing at Puller Stadium right now, at least for their home opener on September 17th, is very much in question. And so we'll have to figure out, or they'll have to figure out, and the league will have to figure out what they are going to do with that. Laker hockey will begin on October 1st as the Lakers in the new CCHA. So excited saying about it. I had to say it five times. They will actually start on October 2nd as they will travel to Nebraska Omaha for a pair of non-conference games. You can hear all Laker hockey road and home on our sister station, Yes FM. Lakers will be at Michigan on October 8th and 9th and will open up home play on Great Lakes States weekend, October 15th and 16th against St. Thomas. We also do have the Laker women's and men's basketball schedule just released over the past couple weeks. The Laker men under Steve Henniga will start play at home against Alma on October 30th. Then they'll travel to Oakland and Missouri for a tournament and be back at the Bud Cooper Gymnasium on November 20th against Westminster out of Utah. And the Laker men will open up GLIAC play Thursday, December 2nd at home against Wisconsin Parkside. Laker women under head coach Brandon Locken will start their season at home on October 31st, an exhibition game against Alma. Then they'll travel to Cedarville, not Cedarville, Michigan, but the University of Cedarville on November 12th. They'll be at Old Dominion on November 13th and then at home against Ursuline on November 21st. And their GLIAC conference openers will be also at home on Thursday, December 2nd against Wisconsin Parkside. A little different from last year where the teams traveled separately. They are traveling once again together, so you'll have double headers for any Laker home games. We're going to take our next break here on Coach's Corner. We come back, we'll look at some other scores from around the region, talk some college football, Detroit Tigers, and wrap things up here from Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan. You're listening to Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO. And we're back at Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan for Coach's Corner. Scott Nason filling in for Dave Watson on this Saturday morning. And come on in to Applebee's. Looks like the outdoor plans probably not going to work out for you. So it's a great time to come down to Applebee's. They are open for lunch. We are in the sports bar, and they already have college football previews on as well, we have a lot of college football to look forward to today. We've already had a lot of college football that we have looked forward to yesterday and Thursday, as last night in the Big Ten, the Michigan State Spartans, a little bit of a surprise in my book, they knocked off Northwestern by the score of 38-21. Expectations a little low this season for the Spartans under second-year head coach Mel Tucker. But boy, did they show something last night. And they ran for more rushing touchdowns last night, Michigan State, than they did all of last season. Of course, it was only six games, but still, it was all the Kenneth Walker III show last night for Sparty. He ran for a career-high 264 yards and a personal best four touchdowns in a very impressive debut with his new team as Michigan State, as I mentioned, wins their season opener on Friday night at Northwestern by the score of 38-21. This was the highest rushing total for a Michigan State Spartan running back since Le'Veon Bell ran for 266 yards against Minnesota back in 2012. And his previous, Walker III's previous best was 130 yards for Wake Forest in a loss to North Carolina State last season. So welcome to East Lansing, Mr. Kenneth Walker III. As Sparty looked good on both sides of the ball, they did give up some touchdowns later on, but as a Spartans fan, very excited for this team and what Mel Tucker brings. Again, expectations low, and I like that as a Michigan State fan. It seems like when the expectations are high for the basketball teams or the football teams, they don't perform. And, well, Michigan State certainly got a lot of people's attention last night. Michigan State will host Youngstown State coming up next Saturday on September 11th. Other Big Ten football from this past week, Ohio State, I wouldn't say struggled at Minnesota, but certainly Minnesota gave them a game. But boy, Ohio State offensively is very talented, and they knocked off Minnesota on Thursday night by the score of 45-31. And I know there's a lot of Michigan fans around these parts listening. They're going to start their season at the Big House. Doesn't look like much social distancing going on in Ann Arbor looking at the pregame show. Michigan will host Western Michigan at noon. Michigan coming off a pretty rough season last year. I think a lot of people had rough seasons last year with COVID. But I think it's a team that's going to do okay. I don't know if they're going to challenge Ohio State or even Penn State, but Coach Jim Harbaugh took a pay cut to keep his job in his seventh season, and certainly Michigan fans, they expect more out of him and this team. I mean, they've had decent seasons up until last year, but they haven't beat Ohio State. They've struggled against Michigan State, and they have to go to Michigan State this year. So that's going to be very interesting indeed. Another Big Ten game at noon, a big one. Some real good matchups in this first week of the season all across the board. Penn State will be at Wisconsin. I really like this Penn State squad. I think they probably won't win the Big Ten East, but I think they're certainly in a good position for a New Year's Day bowl. Penn State struggled last year, but I think they have enough pieces coming back. But that's a tough place to play at Camp Randall, and the difference with this season is you got fans in the building. We certainly saw that last night, especially in that Virginia Tech game as Virginia Tech knocked off North Carolina. So you're going to see more of a home field advantage this year, whereas last year some stadiums were empty, others had, you know, half capacity. You're going to see full houses all season long. Another Big Ten game, a very good one at 3:30. Indiana will take on Iowa. And in top 25 college football today, there's just a ton of good games, including the other team that I root for, the Alabama Crimson Tide, the preseason number one. They will be taking on Miami. Alabama, a 19.5-point favorite against the number 14 team in the country on the road. If I was a betting man, which I am, I might take the points in that one. We won't give gambling tips here on a Coach's Corner. Probably not a slope we want to go down, because that could become very slippery. And then tonight, the biggest matchup of the night in college football, Georgia at Clemson. Clemson, of course, without Trevor Lawrence, who is the starting quarterback for Jacksonville this year. That one is going to be a dandy as well. Major League Baseball from last night. Well, the reason Dave Watson is not doing the show is because he and his wife are down in Cincinnati for the weekend watching the Detroit Tigers, and the Watsons certainly got a show last night. Wow. Tigers, who have had trouble scoring runs as of late. Well, they didn't last night, as Garneau slugged two home runs for the Tigers as they defeated Cincinnati, a team that's really reeling right now, by the score of 15-5, as he hit a two-run homer and a solo shot. Robbie Grossman also hit a three-run homer for the Tigers. Cincinnati, a team that was in the wild card hunt for a while, right now looking kind of tough for the Reds. They were right up there with the other teams as far as Los Angeles and some of the other teams. But right now, they are struggling indeed. So the Tigers and Cincinnati Reds will play again today. Trying to get a starting time on here as my internet seems to have cut out. But the Tigers will play the Reds today, and you can hear that game right here on 1230 WSOO. And coming up next Sunday, we'll have Detroit Lions football, as the Lions will be at home to start the season as they will take on the San Francisco 49ers. You can hear Detroit Lions games over on our sister station, Oldies 93. We'll have that game on Sunday, a week from Sunday, starting at 11 o'clock with the pregame show. That Tigers-Reds game is tonight at 7:10, so we'll have the pregame show right around 6:45 or so on a 12:30 WSOO. Matthew Boyd will be pitching for the Tigers. And again, Cincinnati, team that, well, still has a lot to play for. The Tigers technically are not out of the playoffs, but realistically, they are. They would have to go on some sort of a tear. 13.5 games out in the Central, it's not going to happen. But Cincinnati, they got a lot to play for. They are still in that second wild card spot. But San Diego, who looked like they were dropping a bit, they're only a half game out of the wild card. St. Louis, a game and a half out of the wild card. And Philadelphia, two games out of the wild card position in the National League. Dodgers or the Giants are going to get that other one, but that's going to be a good race there, as you got five teams within four games of each other. In the American League, you also have some pretty good wild card races. Right now, the Yankees and Boston would be your two wild card teams. Oakland three games back, Seattle four, and Toronto five. So we're getting to that point in the Major League Baseball season where we're really looking at the pennant races and the wild card races. And hey, it's great to be back here at Applebee's talking local sports and certainly covering them as well. Looking at our upcoming broadcast schedule for this week, coming up on Monday night, we will not have our edition of the game over on ESPN 1400 from 6 to 8 p.m. on Monday nights. We're going to take Labor Day off and be back with our next show on Monday, September 13th. We'll be talking Sioux Indians hockey on that show with their head coach, John Ferroni. We'll also have Sioux High Blue Devil football right here on 1230 WSOO Friday night, as the Blue Devils will take on Kingsley, both teams 2-0. You can hear that game starting with the kickoff show around 6:35 with Dave Watson and Pat Bennett on 1230 WSOO. Our EUP game of the week for next week is in Rudyard, as the Bulldogs 2-0 on the season. They will host North Dickinson in Rudyard. You can hear that game with Matt Pocket over on our sister station, Country 105. If you want to hear a podcast of today's show as well as previous broadcasts of the EUP Game of the Week, Coach's Corner, The Game, and all other sports content, you can find it all on the website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. We post our shows usually shortly after them, probably this one here early this afternoon, where you can hear all the shows, download them for free, keep them for the archives, and just have a great time. Want to thank our special guest here at Applebee's today, Assistant General Manager of the Sioux Indians, Rick Corbier, and Scout Dan Lasley. Also want to thank our broadcast engineer back in the 1230 WSOO Studios, Matt Pocket, doing a great job as always, and all of you for listening. Dave will be back next week for our next edition of Coach's Corner, live from Applebee's here on the I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan. That's going to do it for our show. Want to thank everyone for listening, and we will talk to you very soon for our next edition of Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO.